afternoon, everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Tuesday, March 30, 2021. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. I'd like to remind everyone, RBN is listener-supported, folks. Please donate whatever is manageable. No donation is too small. And right now, we have, with every $100 donation, the ability to provide you with a high-quality RBN t-shirt. Help you to spread free speech fashionably and to get the word out. Good conversation starter for sure. We also have coffee mugs in now, RBN coffee mugs. And from what I understand at the moment, at least, this offer is being extended where for a donation of $115, you can actually receive both the t-shirt and the coffee mug. That's fabulous. I'd say that's certainly far more generous than I would expect. So you might want to cash in on that while the getting's good. But be sure to include your t-shirt size or email us your size if you use the website to donate. You can donate using PayPal at our RBN website donate page. You can call our RBN staff to donate via credit or debit card. You can call in to donate at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can just mail in your donation, cash, check, money order, to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. I mean, we have never really been able to have free speech without it being funded by us. It just took a long time to realize that. But it's always been manipulated to some form as far as the large corporate outlets. Please help ensure RBN continues broadcasting this uncensored content well into the future. And we do have a chat room. If you'd like to contribute to our chat room, that's located at beyondton.chatango.com. I do have a guest here with us today, folks. A returning guest, one Paul in California. Paul, as I've mentioned before, is an analyst, researcher, nationalist, traditionalist, and an independent media activist. All my words, folks, but nonetheless. Hello, Paul. Thanks for being here again.
Well, thank you for having me again, Richard. Probably the only phrase you might add is backed by popular request, right?
We did get a good response, actually, yeah, and a lot of good callers with some feedback that day, last when you were on, especially.
Right.
Well, I mean,
right.
Well, I'd love to hear more of your insights. You know, I mean, just basically where we're headed. You know, how what rate at which we're headed there, and what we really need to focus on. I mean, it's I don't know. Law and order don't really apply anymore in the West. I've certainly noticed that recently.
Right. Yeah, well, I would say we're on a toboggan ride into an extra evil Jewish tyranny, and we're heading there fast. And I can only cross my fingers and hope that enough people might wake up and start to see what's in front of them, and perhaps to start acting like men or acting like free men instead of beaten down submissive slaves, which I'm sure you see all around you as I see around me here in California. You know, I was just thinking about this experiment the other day. It's like actually something that I did once or twice. And I just imagine something like this, right? You're walking down the street and you have a little hypodermic needle in your pocket. And it's got some sort of a liquid in it. And you just come up to somebody and you say, oh, hey, by the way, you need to take a shot. and I got a shot right here. It's going to help you make you better. It's 95% effective. So why don't you go ahead and roll up your sleeve? And, what do you think most people's reaction would be if, some person on the street came up to them with a hypodermic needle and wanted to inject it into their arm?
Yeah, my first thought, they wouldn't want to even consider the percentage rate you just mentioned. They wouldn't even trust what you're saying is in that, and that, you know, that there's any reason to believe anything you say.
Right, right. And, the thing is I would just immediately say, oh, I see, but a big corporation such as Moderna or Pfizer or GlaxoSmithKline or Johnson & Johnson with their lovely track record of the things that they've done, several of those, I think every single one of the pharmaceutical companies is headed by some Jew, but don't let that bother you. They're just like us Christians, right? And they tell you it's safe and effective. Actually, they're leaving out safe now, if you haven't noticed that. They're just calling them effective. Effective at what exactly? We're not sure. There's all sorts of rumors swirling around about what it is they will or won't do. And, of course, they're telling you, well, we still have to social distance, and, it's still a good idea to wear a mask. Well, okay, why am I getting a shot then? But, here's the significant, takeaway, in my opinion, is any time that they are telling you you have to do something and it's free and the government's willing to pay for it, and you have to do it in order to, quote, go back to normal, I don't see how any conscious American would not see that as a 100% run the other way every single time. But that's just me.
Yeah, it's amazing just when you look at the PCR tests alone. I mean, what we've learned about them, and you have to know that these political leaders, a good portion of them, at least, have had this information come across their desk. But they know that it's not about the science or truth, right?
No, and as a matter of fact, I just got done explaining briefly to somebody the other day, a so-called, medical professional who was not aware that it doesn't really test for anything because the CDC has admitted they haven't isolated the virus, because, of course, viruses in general cannot really be isolated. This is the whole lie, the whole history of what we've been sold and what we all believed. And speaking of the test, I think Sophia Smallstorm on a show a couple of weeks ago used the best word. She called it an indignity. In my opinion, it's ridiculous. It's a humiliation. But, yeah, this whole idea that you got to stick something way up your nose. Okay, because that particular spot right there, that's where we have the best chance. That's where the virus is hanging out. Or the idea that you got to stick a swab up your, up your butt to find out something. It's just these people love to basically humiliate us. And like she said, it was an indignity. This is what they're doing. And I don't see how people can't see that. But, of course, I run into people all the time that have been tested and that have been vaccinated. I mean, just the other day, a man in a car rolled his window down. He was actually going to send me, it's a long story, but he was going to send me a video of an incident that he took. I was actually working at the time as a security guard. There's some incident that took place in front of this building, and he actually videoed it, and he was going to send the video to my phone. And he's in his own car wearing two masks. And middle of the day, and I said to him, I said, you might want to think about, when you're on your own in the car not wearing a mask, you need the oxygen. And, I didn't get to the whole thing, but I just told him that. And he goes, oh, no worries, I'm good, And then he goes, I just had my second shot. I go, what? I said, oh, you should never have had one. Well, what can you say? It's over and done at that point. I'm not going to go into a whole big lecture. He just goes, I'm good. He's like, okay, all right. See you later. I mean, what can you do about these people? Nothing. As I said to you on another show, if the vaccine is going to have these ill effects that are being claimed and people are testifying to, then I just hope in many cases these people are eliminated, so they're not going to be around to cooperate further down the line, because they make this medical tyranny possible. I mean, without everybody else cooperating and bringing in this, quote, new abnormal, then these individuals have zero power and zero authority. Anthony Fauci and, you know, the head of the World Health Organization and the head of the CDC also happens to be a hook-nosed Jew. Sorry for the insult there, Jewish people. But yeah, go look at the picture of the female head of the CDC. You know, it's like that old famous saying, every single time. I don't like what I'm seeing. It's one of those things where everybody's heard the expression, did you ever think you'd live to see the day? It's an older expression, but it's mm-hmm. still rings true. And now we are having those moments monthly almost. I mean, in the past, it would be years, and all of a sudden you might have that feeling, did you ever think you'd live to see the day? But now it's like one after the other, after the other, after the other. And it all goes back. It's interesting for the show. I pulled up a document that I saved to my desktop, and it's titled How the Flexner Report Hijacked Natural Medicine. And a lot of people that are listening here that are maybe aware might have heard of Abraham Flexner or the Flexner Report, but it's worth just revisiting a few sentences from this document. And by the way, I'm looking at a picture of Abraham Flexner, and of course, he was Jewish. So Abraham Flexner was not even a doctor. He was essentially a school teacher and what they call an educational theorist. And he was hired by the Rockefellers, Carnegie, J.P. Morgan to do this report, which was titled Medical Education in the United States. It came out in 1910. The opening line says this: if you've ever wondered how modern-day medicine got to where it is today, you should begin by learning about Abraham Flexner. He's probably about the most influential man that no one has heard of. And it says here that even though at the time institutions like Johns Hopkins were already implementing, quote, modern principles into their work, most medical schools had yet to subscribe to these principles. So what Flexner did was attempt to align medical education under a set of norms emphasizing laboratory research and the patenting of medicine. Of course, this would also serve to further enrich the fortunes of entrepreneurs who funded his report, John Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, and others. Sounds like a win, right? Well, not exactly. And it goes on to basically say that by 15 years' time, half of the medical schools in the country had disappeared, from about 160 medical schools down to 80. And then by the beginning of World War II, the number of medical schools was down to 75. And of course, this was part of the broader program to consolidate and monopolize the practice of medicine, to increase their control and to amass wealth. So here's another brief line from the report. Dr. Thomas P. Duffy in the Yale Journal of Biology and Medicine offered this analysis of Flexner's approach. Quote, there was a maldevelopment in the structure of medical education in the aftermath of the Flexner Report. And of course, that's putting it mildly. What he said here is the ideals of medicine would change as teacher and student chased each other down the road of research, forgetting the wider interests. And also the fact of the matter is that naturopathy and homeopathy, which of course use nature and are both gentle and therapeutic in their approach, were elbowed out of the way to bring in drugs and surgery. And of course, like I said earlier, this emphasis on reductionism and, quote, laboratory research. And I think everybody that's looking around today to see what has actually happened to our modern medicine is now being used to bring in a tyranny. And everything is about the CDC. If you read the paper or listen to the news, oh, the CDC says this and the CDC says that. CDC guidelines. The CDC is supposedly behind this idea now that, for example, I just read an article, if you were traveling in another country such as Mexico, in order to come back, you have to test negative. Or you might be quarantined, which, of course, is complete nonsense. The CDC has no authority to do anything like this. But there you have it. Your comments, if you wish.
Well, it's interesting what you mentioned about the the standardizing and consolidation, concentrating of the medical institutions, getting rid of a lot and making the rest more uniform as a as an approach to bring in big pharma and a corporate profit as the ultimate motive. And
I was going to say, well, not only that, Richard, but from reading other documents and descriptions of what it was like at the time, similar to the way that the law was practiced, that you didn't have to go to these law schools and pass a quote bar exam. That essentially the practice of law was pretty straightforward because it was mostly common law or natural law, and you could actually apprentice with somebody else who was practicing the law, and then if you wanted to go out on your own, you could do it. It's sort of like opening up a barber shop or a blacksmith or something else like that. And being a doctor was not glorified like it is today, and you didn't make a ton of money. Of course, these people, the Rockefellers, Carnegies, et cetera, they were of the opinion that there was too many doctors, and of course, because the fact of the matter is there's a lot of people doing this sort of thing, then you can't have a real monopoly and you can't ratchet up all the prices. Yeah. And what they wanted to do was essentially to create a shortage. So that's okay. What we're looking at all the time. Yeah.
All right. Artificial scarcity of the services provided, but also, of course, the patentable synthetic drugs, which do more harm than good compared to the natural and homeopathic alternatives you mentioned. I mean, in more recent times, though, the compartmentalization of scientific research and medical research seems to be an effective way to keep people in the dark as far as, I mean, like the PCR tests for so many doctors and scientists to not be aware of that. Well, that wasn't their field, so they just don't ever bother to look into that. And,
Right. Well, of course, the idea.
And of course, PCR, a lot of people not knowing what things they're contributing to in a lot of situations. Maybe, I wouldn't want to be part of building that bomb or that bioweapon or whatever. But if I'm so compartmentalized, I just do what I'm supposed to in my lab, send what I need to off to wherever, and don't know anything else about it. I'm kept in the dark. But go ahead.
Right. And that's the second time you used the phrase kept in the dark. I would actually further put a finer point on it and say to perpetuate a fraud and to lie to us, because it's perfect for that. And it's exactly what's taking place today. Is this whole idea that there's a virus that you get from somebody else, there's a virus you get from the air, there's a virus that you get from surfaces, it's going to get inside, it's going to contaminate you, you're going to catch something, that there's transmission. It's nonsense. It's always been nonsense, and it was actually in the past known as a fraud, and it was abandoned. They call it in general the infection theory of disease or the contagion theory, and that theory has been either debunked or abandoned, as I mentioned on a previous call, multiple times, because it was never sustainable. And as a matter of fact, it's an outright lie. I have zero doubt about this.
Well, here, we have the first break coming, and we also have a caller on the line already. If you'd like to hear some feedback, you could respond to after we return.
Okay.
All right, stick around. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile oxysilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Folks, Beyond the Official Narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my guest today, Paul in California. And we have a caller on the line for you, Paul. John in Tennessee. Hello, John. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you, Richard and Paul. Man, I'm in agreement with you so much, making my head spin. You know, this has been going on for literally hundreds of years, but I can take you back. I've been looking into this for 34 years. 1986 is when I came on the whole idea of eugenics and Cold Springs Harbor and genocide for the sake of the better race. You know, they called it bitter families back in the 20s at Cold Springs Harbor. So now we're looking at pharmacology. Richard, have you ever considered pharma, big pharma, P-H-A-R-M-A? Your body, if the pH is off, you'll be sick. So it's pH. The word arma, A-R-M-A in Latin, I think it's Latin, is actually warfare or weapons. So it's pH weapons, pharmacology. As a result of Rockefeller's murdering hazardous waste from oil production, he had to get rid of the stuff. Couldn't dump it in the stream. So what do? We feed it to those people. We cover up symptoms. We're not healing. Rockefeller medicine, we're not going to heal you. But we're going to get out our little black book, and we're going to mix it up in the sink, and we'll make you feel better while we're killing you. That's what it amounts to. So when we see all this going on with Bill Gates and Malthusian mentality of Gates and Fauci. Take into consideration Fauci's name in Italian means sickle. Who carries a sickle? The Grim Reaper carries a sickle. And if you go to GatesNotes.com and look at the video that he put up, you'll see a swarm of mosquitoes, according to Gates, are still the world's most deadly animal or deadly creature. It's a swarm of mosquitoes in the form of the Grim Reaper in a swamp. So these people know exactly what they're doing. We're just not listening.
Yes, and I'm assuming you're familiar with the fact that pH actually means potential hydrogen, and it's essentially a measure of Volta. If you haven't seen, if any of the listeners haven't seen a great video on YouTube, you probably can still see it. It's called Healing is Voltage by Dr. Jerry Tennant. And this is a well-understood concept that we all operate essentially on a voltage. This is covered much more extensively, and it's a lot more elaborate in The Body Electric, a book that came out in the 70s. But essentially, all we really need to be healthy is good quality food that is can be electron donors. Because most of the food that we eat today for the average American is overprocessed, overcooked, and devoid of electrons, and actually requires more energy to break down and get less nutrients out of than fresh whole food. So essentially, when you think about this idea of what you eat is important, the fresher and closer to life, such as fresh fruits and vegetables and so forth, is the most important food because it has the ability to donate free electrons. And that's actually quite helpful. That's why we feel good when we eat good food, and we feel bad and low energy when we eat bad food.
Well, I wasn't aware what pH stood for. I just know that if you're too alkaline, you're sick. If you're too acidic, you're dead. It's
right,
got to be in
right,
that range.
I would highly recommend you to go and take a look at the work of Dr. Jerry Tennant, spelled like landlord tenant, like that. And the very
right.
first video you can watch is Healing is Voltage. And you can probably put a lot more time. I probably put at least 8 or 10 hours into Dr. Jerry Tennant. And there's other people that have essentially done a similar sorts of work and have made similar conclusions. But the fact of the matter is all the exchanges between the cell wall is based on electrical potential. So when the cells give up their waste products and they give up their CO2 and they want to take in fresh oxygen and nutrition, this exchange in the cell wall is essentially electric. And, everything about when we run down, where you're feeling kind of run down like the Energizer Bunny, that's all that really is. And what happens to us over time is we just get electrically depleted, and so it's hard to heal and to continue to replace our cells with healthy new cells. That's really all the body does all its life besides synthesize protein is to replace dead and dying cells with new ones. And
well, here we have the
essentially.
We have the bottom of the hour break here. Dave,
okay.
In New York is also on the line on hold. But John, do you want us to hold you over?
No, I'll just finish up by saying, it's in our language. We hear it our whole lives. You are what you eat. I have no energy. So you're absolutely correct. We're being told how we're being destroyed, but when you bring it to light, you're crazy. So anyway, yeah. Thank you for what you're doing, man. It's almost like I wish I didn't know. I've come too far.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an energy cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an energy cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And we're back, folks. Beyond the official narrative, Republic Broadcasting, here with my guest today, Paul in California. And Paul, you were mentioning before the first caller how germ theory, and if you will, has never been proven. It makes me think of Andrew Kaufman, for example. He holds a pretty strong stance on that. I played a clip of his on the air back last autumn. And well, you already mentioned Sophia Smallstorm. She's done excellent research this past year on this whole alleged pandemic. I'd also cite John Rappaport. I have some segments of his I've been meaning to play on air as well. He's done some excellent research as well. Before we go to the next caller, is there anything else you wanted to add on this?
Yeah, I thought it would be I'll just give admission, if you will, of my little journey, which has only taken place in the last year. So it was indeed Sophia Smallstorm, and I think another person said something similar on a show in March or April of last year. She actually said to the host, it was on Jim Fetzer's show, she said, "Jim, did you know that viruses aren't really alive in the so-called conventional and normal sense, and that they're inorganic?" Now, when I heard this, my ears pricked up. I said, "What?" Because, see, all my life, I'm probably like everybody else. I'm just walking around with impressions. You know, that's what they do to us all the time, is they give us images and impressions and associations, right? And we don't really have real knowledge. And I realized, wait a minute, I always thought my whole life a virus was kind of like a little bug, you know, like a bacteria or something else. It was some little organism that does all these things. And so that sent me on a little journey where I just looked up the definition of virus. I literally typed in definition of virus. I started reading, and probably, I don't know, maybe 3 hours, maybe 4 hours into the topic, not a lot. I mean, that's my disclaimer. I'm not any kind of quote expert or researcher, but we all have a human mind, and our human mind is capable of discernment. It's capable of perception, and also what's known as intuition. These are real things. You can know by putting in the effort, and the information will come to you through the universe. I firmly believe this because it's actually, in my opinion, been shown and proven. So having said that, I quickly realized that a lot of what I was reading was total bull, and there was no support for it. There was no support for it. And turns out I was absolutely correct. But literally, if you stuck a microphone in my face a year ago and said, Paul, what's a virus? Or what's the difference between a virus and a bacteria? I wouldn't have been able to give you a good answer. And that's been my experience. In my traveling around, walking around, talking to people, I've asked at least 40 or 50 people, going back nearly a year, what a virus was, or if they knew the difference between a virus and a bacteria. And Richard, not one person has ever offered an explanation. So again, this is how the condition of the American mind is, we're just open vessels for propaganda, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, let's go to the next caller. We have Dave in New York on the air. Hello, Dave. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Richard and Paul. I thought it was William from Montana who's on Jeremy's show. Paul, you sound so similar to him. The only difference is William was very sick, and you sounded very strong, and I was going to rejoice that he had been healed, but I don't know his status. He's very quality information guy, and I see that you do a lot of research too. So I have some different ideas. First of all, in 10th grade, we had a good biology teacher, but he taught us that viruses do not have all the 10 or however many functions of life that were required. So he taught us that viruses were not living. They required a host cell to invade and use their machinery. But, we had a top biology teacher. Yeah.
By the way, just quickly to interject, that's the language that they use that I discovered. They, quote, hijacked the cellular machinery, right, to replicate itself, the virus. And when I read that phrase, I paused for a moment, and just because I believe that I have refined my mind over decades, I just said, bull, total bull. How do they know this? And what machinery are they talking about? It's a mechanistic view of things that makes no sense. The cell is not an assembly line that can choose to make a truck or a car or a tractor or anything like that. The idea that a non-living organism, if you look up the definition of virus and you start reading, you will find consistency in this. Inorganic, inert. They use that over and over. Inert means no, it has no agency. It lacks the power to move or to act. It has a protein coat. It's a piece of RNA or a piece of DNA. Has no respiration. Does not consume or excrete anything. Has no metabolism.
Right.
It's not a cell.
Right.
It has no nucleus. So how does this thing trick our body? And plus, they can't see it. They can't see it go inside the cell. So my proposal would be this. If it's true that the body or the cells make viruses, then that's what they do because it's God's or nature's design, and that viruses probably don't have the purpose that we think they do. And as the people that wrote the book, What Really Makes You Ill, great website, everybody listening, go to whatreallymakesyouill.com. A couple took the better part of 10 years to put together this book. And essentially, all that really modern medicine claims that you find something like a virus at the, quote, scene of a crime, and you're blaming it for the illness. It's equivalent to finding firemen at a fire and saying they started the fire. And it absolutely is not sustainable. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, the fact that something is coincidentally found doesn't mean it was a cause, just like the planes in 9/11, because they didn't hit Building 7 and Building 7 fell down, but it fell down differently. But in terms of the viruses, the cell is a machine. They have ribosomes and everything, and if you have a RNA virus, RNA can go in the cell and it can be converted in it could in principle. Okay, I'm not saying that I ever saw it happen and can actually prove that their RNA went in and was replicated, or was either duplicated or converted into proteins. But I think with this SARS-CoV-2 virus, we have many labs throughout the world, and I actually sent a search to Richard, and you know, it had over 2,000 different articles on involving sequencing of the SARS-CoV-2 virus, where it has 30,000 RNA bases, ribonucleic acid bases, linked together in a specific sequence. And if you can reproduce that in numerous labs through the world, then there's very good evidence that that genome exists, and then how the genome occurred and how whether it's encapsulated in a protein coat or not and transmitted as a virus particle is a totally separate question.
Yeah, no such thing. In my opinion, Eustace Mullen said something in an interview back in the 90s. It was shortly after he wrote his book, Murder by Injection, which I highly recommend anybody read. You go online and read the PDF form of Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins. I actually like the book. I like to turn the pages. But he made a statement. He said, most medical research is spurious. And it was the use of one of those words. I kind of knew by context what he meant, but I went and looked it up. And it's very perfect, in my opinion. Most of these so-called research people are just stealing money. They get grants and they study stuff. But in reality, the whole idea of reductionism doesn't work, and it doesn't make us any healthier, that everything is basically symbiotic, right, where there's a synergistic effect for everything. Viruses, you don't catch from other people. There's no evidence of that. Viruses don't go inside of you and make you ill. If there's a virus inside of you, right, it's because of what you have done, your terrain. Viruses are endogenous to the body. They don't exist exogenously. And there's never been any studies, as John Rappaport has pointed out, they've never done any studies of any number of people and looked at and found consistent looking and consistent structured viruses in all sorts of people that were sick with the same illness or the same symptoms. It simply has not been done. The whole thing is a total lie. I don't care how many papers people write, there isn't any way. Think about this for a second. This is for everybody. You remember how they kept telling us for all these months that most people are asymptomatic. These figures like 80% or 90% of people have no symptoms. Now, how they know this, I have no idea, but it's a supposition on their part. So keep those percentages in mind and ask yourself this question. Put your thumb on a block of wood and hit your thumb with a ball-peen hammer, right? It's going to hurt. So if you take 100 men and you hit their thumbs with a ball-peen hammer really hard, and then now you interview them afterwards, and 80 or 90 of them say, I didn't feel a thing, didn't hurt at all. And how can you make a conclusion that hitting somebody with a ball-peen hammer on the thumb causes pain when 80 or 90 of them said, I feel nothing? The whole idea of this virus being asymptomatic, pre-symptomatic, or that people, there's a survival rate that, 99-point-something% of the people survive this virus, total nonsense and bullshit. 99.9% of the people survived my banana bread.
Try to curb the terminology. Try not to curse for American standards on here. But I get your point, and I want to hear Dave's response. And Dave, I don't know what you'd also respond to my point about how compartmentalization in scientific and medical research can, be damaging to just everyone. Having the initiative to be informed on more topics. I mean, to some extent, you stay in your speciality. But could you clarify again for Paul in California's sake, just what you're? I mean, because you're a scientist as well, correct?
Yeah, I could tell him that. Let me respond to your question.
I mean, you said you're an organic chemist. Is that it?
Organic chemist. Specifically, it's more physical organic chemist. It involved photochemistry. We did anti-tumor phototherapy as well. And there was a little bit of inorganic chemistry in there. I will say that viruses I don't think they really have an inorganic component. But your question about compartmentalization, I think it's very important to point out that they use all this jargon that keeps everybody out of their own little field that they carve out, because you can't understand their terms and what they really mean. I mean, me as a scientist, I can't jump over into these other areas very quickly many times. And I, you know, that's a real problem. But groupthink in any environment, including here, is of course, a problem. Now,
yes.
What I see with the virus reality, the evidence of 30,000 base pair sequence is very definitive. And electron micrographs, now, I told you before, Richard, that there... that I was coming up just in my initial search with fuzzy electron micrographs of the COVID-19.
Well, yes,
what
but
I
Dave,
heard from
Dave,
a researcher.
Let me stop you there, though, because, I mean, those sequences, I mean, there's no evidence to link that to anything in particular, including COVID-19 or any other coronavirus of that.
Sure.
So, I mean, this is all just supposition. All
no,
the
no,
sequences,
no, 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 no,
that's not it. It's all just supposition.
Hang on.
Well, here let's hear Paul in California, my guest.
Okay, Paul, and I'll explain
quickly. So, Dave, with all due respect, and again, I mean that sincerely. Anybody out there who's had a scientific education and spent the time and the energy to get a degree, I completely respect all the time and the effort. I have a feeling that many of these people have been miseducated, and I'm not sure exactly to what extent. Forgive my passion.
Exactly, possibly.
I'm on a mission. If I could do anything, I would take a wrecking ball to this whole medical establishment. I would leave the entire medical paradigm in smoldering ruins if I could, because it's being used against us. It's like a weapon, and I really, really hate it. The bottom line is this, Dave, and I'm sure it's similar in your life. Most of your life, you've been well, okay? Most of my life, I've been well. Most people I know have been well. They're sick very seldom. So my question is, where's the virus then? Is the virus just waiting for us to, for what? And okay, it attacks older people. Okay, so does the virus have a calendar? Is it just waiting for you to get old? This is not the way the world works. We've been lied to. So you may indeed be correct about these 30,000 base pair sequences or whatever it is you say. But what I'm saying is none of that matters. Here's something that matters. I'm going to read a couple of sentences from this article. It's a chapter in Murder by Injection by Eustace Mullins. This is from August of 1977, all right? A long line of people had formed outside a local health clinic. The line slowly inched forward into a room where white-coated, quote, technicians injected each person's arm with a virulent chemical poison. As the chemical hit their bloodstream, some of the victims actually slumped over and died almost immediately. They were quickly taken to another room while the, quote, technicians assured the rest of the nervous crowd, nothing to worry about, they've just passed out. Now, this was in 1976 in what Eustace Mullins calls the Great Swine Flu Massacre. Now, this is Eustace Mullins, by the way, and of course, this is one of the reasons I like him. He's very aware. He says, only the warped mind of the Jew could have conceived such a horror as celebrating the bicentennial year of the United States by carrying out a national campaign of genocide against its citizens, and by enlisting the President of the United States, Gerald Ford, to personally lead this campaign. Ford's folly, as it was later called, cost him the election to the White House, and the supposed information about hundreds and hundreds of victims leaked out. The true purpose of the campaign was a test run for a much more comprehensive national plan of eliminating non-productive citizens, which could be carried out at some later date. The campaign of swine flu injections was hardly underway before alarming rumors of sudden death and terrible side effects, such as the various forms of paralysis, began to alarm the American people. And I'll leave it at that. It goes on, but I highly recommend anybody go online and read Eustace Mullins' The Great Swine Flu Massacre, a chapter out of his book, Murder by Injection. This is what's going on. This is all that's going on. And they want us to be stupid and submissive. We don't need anything that comes out of a needle. That's my point, Dave. Thanks for hearing it.
Yeah, we don't need that. I mean, we have all kinds of different things we can take for this COVID-19 illness, whatever is causing it, the ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, et cetera. And look at what happened. We have 500,000 people, approximately, they claim, that may not have died. If they brought those out in January 2020, all these deaths could have been avoided. It was the vaccine push that prevented and suppressed.
Well, no, that's just assuming like John Rappaport points out, that all of these deaths are caused by one thing, that there's one overall cause for all these deaths.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
You know, Dave, I'm sorry to interrupt, Dave, but we have two more callers now that are actually out in queue. So,
just
thanks
quickly,
a lot.
Dave.
I always appreciate your calls and your input,
okay.
sir. All right. Let's go to Murr in Wisconsin. Hello, Murr. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Richard and Paul, two of my favorite people.
Oh, thank you, Murr.
Well, you know, PhD stands for piled high and deep. You know that, right?
Okay, all right. Okay.
And Rockefeller's real name is Rogenfelder. They're Sephardic Jews that came through Turkey. You think
right.
Rothschild would give anything of the Western Hemisphere to anybody but some of their cousins? I mean, we've aired a lot of this stuff on Stormfront. And when this began, and I'm saying it, and I'm saying it, and I'm saying it, because it's true, Vairi are debris, nothing more.
Yes.
We each
Thank
have
you.
Individual... Debris. Immune systems, innate, that we come in with, and acquired, that we acquire. Now, the fact that we help each other by being, you know, the placebo effect arises because we're helping each other, and we're joyful, and we're healing each other. And like with my children, sleepovers, okay? And you get over the childhood illnesses that build your immunity, right?
So there is no herd immunity
or community immunity. That's communitarian speak. Right.
So quickly, Murr, let me steal 30 to 40 seconds of your time, and I'll give it back to you. But, yes, you make some excellent points, including the very real thing of human energy. Human emotional energy is one of the most healing things that there has been known. So that's a great point. And just also quickly, since Dave mentioned hydrochloroquine, nobody really knows. People talk about this thing like it's some big helpful thing. Well, go look up the mechanism of action, which you can do for any drug, which I did. Mechanism of action for hydrochloroquine, and all it does is it suppresses the bodily function known as autophagy. Autophagy is the body getting rid of debris. So basically, when people are sick, they're trying to eliminate debris, cellular debris, dead parasites, all the stuff that has to be done all the time. And what this does, it's palliative only. It makes you feel a little better because it interferes with that process, which is a natural process. That's hydrochloroquine.
Yep. Right.
So go ahead.
Well, see, this is assuming that the virus needs to be treated. No, we need to just buck up our immune systems. This is a spell, and I've sent it to Richard before. This is a spell. If you see it, it's backwards. It's a Hebrew spell, and it's from the mind of the Jew again, and Gates is also a Jew. It's crypto. He doesn't want to admit it, but of course he is. I mean, just look into it. You'll see. And this is what they do. Do you think the New World Order is New World Order or Jew World Odor? Okay? Been the plan all along, you know. So just be aware,
indeed.
People, and be healthy and happy. Now, when you were talking about food, I was eating my lunch, right? Fresh peas and some scallions and some pickled beets, and what you need is a colorful rainbow plate of fresh food. The color indicates the nutrients, you know.
So thank you so much, Murr. Yeah, I hope you do call in again soon. I have one more caller I was hoping to get to, but...
Okay, I just wanted to say, too, though, about Gary Tennant, yes. And you have to realize that fillings in our teeth are amalgams. There are more than one metal, and combined with the saliva,
that's right.
Acid. Okay, so anyway, you know about that. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Be well, Murr.
And let's go to Pat in Texas. Pat, you're on the air.
Oh, I had a hard time telling who was speaking, but the one who's worked on the cancer tumor... I wanted to tell you about a guy going over here. He's Chinese, American Chinese, as far as he speaks English, and his name is Jin Zhang Gao, G-A-U, and he has come up with this perfect nano whatever to pinpoint a hard tumor, because a hard tumor's pH is acid, so. I'm thinking, you're going to inject it in the guy while you're in surgery. You want to look at the picture of the tumor, okay? What about if the poor guy's got acid, all his blood is acid, you're putting the nano crap all over his whole body. This is going on over here at MSU. And he's patented the thing and, got, I hate to say, but some guy here in Fort Worth, I can't remember his name. of famous people who make a lot of money on things are paying into this. They're not selling stock yet, but it's on the stock market, 100% owned by them. So what do you think about something that's supposed to pinpoint a tumor that's acid in your body? Yeah, I hadn't thought about it.
Well,
okay, well, look it up.
I think that we need less, how should we say, less isolation and reductionism as far as, okay, we need to attack the tumor. And, of course, this is nothing new, but more.
No, well, it's not attacking the tumor. It's enabling them to see it perfectly, color-wise.
Right, right. Well, okay, yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know, so what, in my opinion? That would be my take on it.
Well, you're putting nanoparticles on something that's acid, and what if your whole body is acid that day?
Okay.
Right.
All right, well,
right.
You get it?
We'll have to research
that
more.
Okay, check it out.
Thank you, Pat.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, well, we just have about a minute or so left. If you just want to stress, I guess, the best points to get across to listeners, if we can, today.
Well, you know, throughout the show, I tried to do as best I could. You know, one of these times, I know you don't have 2 hours, but this topic is easily a 2-hour show or more. But essentially, you know, if it's possible to trust your own innate wisdom and judgment and not to trust anything that the modern medical establishment tells you, because it's been shown time and time again that they don't have your best interest at heart, even if the personal doctor is not part of the conspiracy. In many cases, he's practicing under a, shall we say, a misunderstanding, or in many cases, a fraud, which he has been taught. You know, that's the thing. Is they teach this on purpose so that we actually cannot be well, and that these people that are running the show, they don't care about your health. The idea that they do, in my opinion, is naive beyond belief.
I think that was very well said for your final words. I couldn't agree more. You know, I think a lot of people, even in science and medicine, they can't conceive how nefarious the intent of those with the power and control and who set the dialogue. You know, well, thank you so much, Paul. Always a pleasure. We'll have to have you back soon, sir.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you. All the listeners also.
And please support RBN, folks. Your donations are what keep everything operative here. And stick around for Dr. Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. If we will, speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.